Here is and everyone who's coming is here, so it's a little after 6:15. I think we should go ahead and get started. So I would like to welcome everyone. Oh wait, oops. Okay. I would like to welcome everyone to the August 2nd meeting of the Energy and Environment Committee. That's August 2nd, 2021. And ask if the clerk would kindly call the roll.
Mana Jo Green.
Present.
Mary Worrow.
Present.
Al Bruno is not with us tonight. I hope he's feeling better. Peter Criswell.
Here.
And Laura Petit.
Here.
Okay, thank you. And with that, let's pledge allegiance and then we'll get on with our business.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Rather beautiful sight out the sixth floor window.
Do we have class outside today? All in favor.
And have folks had a chance to review the minutes of our July 6th meeting? If so, please, I would entertain a motion to approve.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Anyone opposed? Motion carries. And the next is next thing on our agenda is the UCRRA update. And I believe I also asked that letter to Chairman Donaldson on composting. I thought it was extremely well written and made a lot of good points, but I'd like to just take a moment. There is no one here from the agency directly, so if there are issues regarding UCRA, I'd just like to take a few minutes to touch on that, and we can communicate that. And since I mentioned the letter to Chairman Donaldson, I found it to be pretty comprehensive and very well written, but it didn't explain why they chose to do the composting up at the upper level using the aerated windrows with organic material as a biofilter. Originally and in their plan, they had planned to do an in-vessel facility at the larger area at a lower elevation on land that they purchased for that purpose. So I was going to send a note, and ask that the next time we meet that they answer that question. But I wondered if people had any other questions. Okay. And then we'll get to Department of Environment shortly, but I wondered if anyone had any comments on the note sent around from the agency by Tim DeGraff explaining that there has been an RFP that HydroQuest, I believe, responded to for essentially landfill siting in Ulster County at a very reasonable cost, and HydroQuest has a really excellent reputation. It is a step in the direction of landfill siting, If I wasn't familiar with their reputation, I would have concerns. But I wondered if anyone had looked it over and had any comments.
I was just going to say, can you tell us about their reputation? Can you tell us a little bit about their reputation?
Oh, goodness. I would have to go back and look. As far back as I can remember working on environmental issues, when they were involved, the report was thorough and, you know, rich in scientific evidence that they both know the geology of the area, the ecology of the area, and take social factors into consideration. And I wish I could remember specific projects that I've either worked directly with them or was part of some interested agency. And I see Amanda nodding, and I think body language.
Williams Lake, Manna. I think that's probably.
Williams Lake, yeah. Along with Eric Kiviat from Hudsonia and so forth. So thank you for the reminder. I just came back from the Ulster County Fair, and it was a very different environment.
If you look at their bid, the addendum has dozens of publications that he's taken part in, and the map did not print well, but the potential environmental justice areas, or even things he's, you know, considering. And
I'm so glad to hear that piece of it. You know,
yes.
I mean, that's really key.
And I'm sorry that I could not get this map to print well. The one I sent you electronically, I sent this, you'll be able to see it more clearly.
So, you know, I would be supportive of them moving forward. And if the committee is, I just want to point out that in rereading the contract that we still have, an existing contract with the UCRRA, if I understood it correctly, and we have our attorney here to double check, important decisions are supposed to be reported to the legislature, and if we have comments, I believe they have to have four out of five of the board members sort of overrule our comments if they don't agree. So in this case, you know, unless the committee has comments that are in opposition, I think we might want to, I don't know if we have to take any action. Legally, we don't have to take any action to support it, but I think it is a good next step. Laura, you had
I had a question about the cost, but it looks like it's $8,000, and I'm assuming they have that in their budget.
Yes. Okay. They don't have to come to us. Originally, it was my understanding that they held off on taking this step because they wanted to do it all at once as a package, landfill siting and construction. And that would certainly require legislative approval. That would be very, at a cost level that we would have to go through. They would have to go through a bonding process and we would have to approve landfill construction. But just for landfill siting, you know, unless I'm missing something, I think they have come up with a really good next step. And anyone who has a comment is welcome to make it. Did you want to?
If I may.
No, okay.
That I have not read this, so I apologize if this is explained in the documents, but, you know, a hydrogeologist helping to find suitable sites for a landfill, there's a lot of considerations traffic, noise, things like that, that I would be, you know, interested to. You're right that they have a very, HydroQuest has a very, very highly regarded, when it, especially with geology, hydrogeology, even some archaeology, things like that. However, this is a very large project that requires, you know, when you think about the full range of factors that are part of a secret review, eventually the siting, even moving, you know, several potential sites to the next step is going to require that really broad expertise and analysis before you're moving it along. So this may do the first step, which is looking at what is hydrogeologically a suitable site, which is really, really important.
A baseline.
But there's layers upon layers,
yes,
of additional analysis that have to be done.
Yes.
And I think this was laid out in their 10-year plan.
To do this step first. Yeah. And the DEC, they're in regular communication with the DEC on the additional information, but I do think it's a good step. And I don't think we have to take any action, so I just wanted to be sure that people saw these two documents.
I'll get you a copy. I just got this morning, so. Also, I know Tim was very excited about the meeting they had at the town of Ulster with their town board,
yes,
to discuss the odor, and they said they were going to work with their the town's planning board with the development of the site, even though they're not required to. They're setting up a process for people to direct questions and odor concerns. So, yeah, that's something else I need to talk to you about. But
okay.
Yeah, so he was very, very pleased with that meeting.
Oh, dear. I recognize that room.
So.
And I will turn this off. Make it so I can't hear it. Somebody I've tried to call all day long, of course. All right. Very good. So with that, since I don't think we really need to take any action, I just wanted to see if anyone had any concerns. I would like to ask Amanda to speak about the Food Waste Prevention and Recovery Act, rules and regulations, and give us an update, please. And welcome back.
Thank you. And it's going to be nice. I've been out for a little bit, so I left this and many other things in the very capable hands of staff at the Department of Environment, and Europa is here. She's been very involved with this. So if there's context that I'm missing or pieces of specific questions that you have, please speak up in case I've missed that in the back and forth recently. I was under the impression that you were looking for with the latest revision to the food waste law, the roles and responsibilities, what we saw as the tasks associated with the law as it's written and kind of where we thought those should go. And the memo was written with that in mind. And we indicated in the memo, which I'm sure you was circulated, some main areas that we see with the law, those being outreach and education, implementation, and enforcement. And then indicated which ones we feel right now staff, you know, like at the Department of Environment have been doing and we could continue to do, or tasks that would be directly related to the environmental outreach manager, as they will be directly interacting with businesses and looking at both energy efficiency and sustainability kind of improvements that could be made. So those are indicated in the memo. But there are many blanks. And I think that's what we're here to pretty much discuss. We have some ideas about those. However, I'll start off with that as kind of an intro, if that's getting at what the question was from the committee.
I want to acknowledge that those of us who were putting the law together realized that there were areas that were not specifically spelled out and were essentially most of those, it was left to the county executive to make that determination. And that was because on many, many things we were able to come to consensus. But for example, enforcement was the agency gave a very good reason why they shouldn't be the enforcing agency because they're in the business and they didn't. Now that's also true of recycling.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a very fair point, and I would actually make that counter argument to the argument that the agency could not be in the enforcement business, is that when it comes to recycling, they receive recyclable materials, they process those, they market them, they sell them. They don't receive all of the recyclable materials in the county. Not everything goes to OPRA, is my understanding. Mm-hmm. However, they are in charge of enforcement across the county, and they are supposed to have an enforcement or a compliance officer. Correct.
Yeah, they haven't had one for over a year and a half, but I think they just hired somebody.
I was
going to
say, I believe they just
hired somebody. Yeah.
So there's a scope of work there, a field of practice or whatever you would like to call it, where they do have some regulatory and enforcement oversight, even though they're doing some, the private companies can take it somewhere else. They're marketing recyclables. They're all in the business. Mm-hmm. I don't see that as being very different from compost and food waste. You know, potentially they could accept food waste like they do there and market it. Other locations could accept food waste, turn it into compost and market it. It's really, I feel, quite parallel to recycling.
The other part of that was we met extensively with Department of Health, and they made a very compelling case that they should not be the enforcing agent. But there is one thing they could do, and that is to be the sort of eyes and ears. When they're at a site anyway doing inspections, just notice whether there's a composting, and if there's not, to let whoever, and I think as we collectively envisioned it, that most of that outreach and interaction would go through the Department of Environment.
Or the enforcement agency, so
whoever's
Yeah. So I think you should be open to that potentially being the agency, being OPRA. However, just to back up, one of the challenges with this law is that the various kind of industries or businesses that it regulates are not neatly regulated by one county department or agency through any permitting or inspection process. So you have a mix of, you know, convenience stores, grocery stores, food and beverage industry, you know, restaurants, different types of food waste producers, and there is no simple line that you can draw to one agency or department. So in thinking about how do you, with the least amount of effort and the least amount of money to go towards staffing, capture this universe and kind of in what we already do, we think that having some kind of referral system through the health department for restaurants in which they're at, similarly possibly referral system through Weights and Measures, who would be on a, I don't know if they're on the same schedule as, at least the health department is every year,
They would be in convenience stores, grocery stores, other places where the health department isn't. It helps to eliminate, you know, it helps to reduce the number of additional kind of inspections you would have to have.
I need to let folks know that I am on a very tight time schedule tonight. And my thought would be that a next step with this report would be to hold a meeting with the agency and the department, particularly Department of Environment, and perhaps a few legislators and a representative from Department of Health Weights and Measures, and have a conversation to see, a solution-oriented conversation to see how we can fill the gaps, which essentially were just left to the county executive to fill in the legislation. And we should also look at the state legislation and be sure that it's aligned as closely as possible.
That's another challenge.
So, yeah.
How does the state do their enforcement?
Through ag and markets?
Yes,
through. You've read it more than I have, so
yes,
I'm deferring
to
you. But
because they must have a huge group of people that they're, a group of businesses that they're trying to.
But they're only doing 2 ton and more.
They're larger generators. So the list is a lot shorter, at least.
There's no schools, there's no hospitals.
And I believe it's through ag and markets.
But they're not there yet because it doesn't come into effect until January of next year.
It's a sticky problem.
It's going to have to be a hybrid, you know, of a solution.
Two other points that if I can just make quickly. One, just finishing out enforcement and kind of that thread. I think in the comptroller's memo on UPRA, there was a very good paragraph towards the end that I thought went back to the contract between the county and UPRA, as far as paraphrasing that the agency has to enforce various recycling laws that the county enacts. I believe that language is in that and was highlighted in the comptroller's report. So that's one piece of information for that discussion. The other thing here is just to highlight that there are many blanks on this list that have to do more with outreach and education and some more interaction with the companies. And one of the things that we learned through Project Resilience was, the interaction with the emergency feeding groups and how much food, you know, was being kind of diverted into those organizations and kind of how they work together. Clearly, one of the main goals of this law is food rescue and recovery. And I believe it was in the recovery money proposal would be an initiative around kind of marrying those two, which is food rescue and recovery and supporting food systems and food pantries. Because I think we knew how hard these folks were working to put this all together, but we realized that at the county level with some greater support for that structure and initiatives like this, you could really strengthen their ability to divert food and also their ability to fulfill their mission.
And also the agricultural component as well.
Very strong there. And one of, specifically, we were thinking about some type of partnership with Cornell Cooperative Extension because they've been working in food security. They're going to be doing some contractual work, I believe, with the Kingston Emergency Food Collaborative. They also have all the ties to the farms, the businesses, the beverage, you know, a lot of the large producers, they have some very important ties to, and it resonates with an economic angle and also agricultural, closing the loop on waste. There's just a, it makes a lot of sense.
So my thought is that since the, shall we say, loose ends or the details were put in the hands of the executive, that if the Department of Environment were to coordinate a follow-up meeting, you know, inviting the different stakeholders to have a solution-oriented meeting, that we could try and get to the bottom of
that. I think the exec's office can certainly convene that and coordinate that, but, you know, the legislature ultimately oversees the agency, and so I think this really needs to be a joint effort.
Yes. Yeah, I think we absolutely would appreciate that, since we, in a sense, created this dilemma by passing the legislation, and for the issues that we couldn't resolve, we said, let the county executive decide those details. So I absolutely think it should be a joint effort, and we didn't spell out how to do that, so we're kind of figuring it out as we go along, but I think there's a lot of goodwill, but there's also, you know, some concern. I think that there's some valid concern on the agency's part about enforcement, but I think we can talk that through. So, and if we can't, then we'll have to, you know, decide amongst ourselves and do what we need to do, which could include another amendment.
If I can clarify, my understanding is that enforcement is more than a matter of, like, having a staff person do enforcement. It's really having the machinery of having a way to issue fines and having a process for being able to appeal. And so it's really finding a department or agency that has that mechanism set up and then can take on the, you know, because of the patchwork of different regulated generators, a whole new universe of, you know, that's why we haven't been able to just designate a department to do it. It's not just a staffing issue, although it is that, but it's been finding where that machinery for enforcement is located that can be used for this purpose. And so that's why I think we're making the strong recommendation that the agency is set up to do this. They already regulate over a wide range of waste generators, and kind of rebuilding that machinery in another department for a different kind of waste is wasteful, if I may say. Mm-hmm. And so the most straightforward solution is to use the agency that we've already set up to do this kind of enforcement.
I do agree. I mean, they have the enforcement capability. We had written it into our recycling and source separation law, including creating a hearing examiner, so when they write tickets, there is someone to go to. And we, you know, we have to make sure that they're not just cherry-picking the things that they want to do. I mean, they are the Solid Waste Authority, and it's an all-encompassing, you know, job for them to do. You know, if they're not, because they're advocating to take on flow control over all materials, you know, I disagree with that as a reason not to enforce it. But, yeah, I mean, I couldn't see the Department of the Environment. I mean, essentially, your policy and, you know, it doesn't seem to be a good fit. And I also think they should take on the reporting and the education, because they do education for composting, and they take in the annual reports. everyone who has more than, is it 5 employees, Nana, or 25? Has to submit an annual report. So as part of that, they would get the food waste that's being generated.
It's down to 10. I think we just checked that with the zero waste implementation plan, where we are, you know, trying very hard to work together. We envisioned that the Department of Environment and UCRA would work together on the education and the outreach. And we had envisioned Weights and Measures as, because they do filling stations and other, that they, within the existing government, if it weren't going to be the agency, would make the most sense.
Didn't the Board of Health like enforce styrofoam and issue fines to companies that weren't following styrofoam and other laws? I mean, they issue fines. Doesn't the Department of Health
do that? Yes.
To restaurants and yes. And some of these food producers, they're already touching them anyway. So they do have a mechanism in some county departments to do this already.
Yes, but what we don't have is that overlap in terms of the universe of who's covered. So it would be, for either Weights and Measures or the Department of Health, a major expansion of who they regulate.
So it might have to be
and so
them
far,
and the RRA.
Of them have said, right. Yes, we can absolutely take that on with no increase in staffing.
Right. And the RRA is saying the same thing, but they may all have to take on a piece of it.
So I think the next step would be to convene a meeting, and I would certainly like to be part of that meeting with anyone else on the committee. I think we want to limit it to 2 so it doesn't become another formal...
We don't want to have a quorum.
That's right.
And it would have to be before, a decision has to be made before September 1st, otherwise we can't enforce the law after January.
We need to act quickly.
Yeah.
Well, if I understand it, Department of Environment is already reaching out to, or has already reached out to the first tier.
First cohort, the 2 tons a week integrator got a letter. There hasn't been
another
thing.
No, we coordinate closely with the attorney's office and Department of Health to, you know, issue the letters to the first regulating
program. I'm having a hard time hearing, and my hearing aids are turned all the way
up. And we got to get you on the report, too.
The Department of Health issued letters to the first cohort, the first regulated cohort, which was 2 tons per week and greater. That's the only notifications that have gone out to date.
And it's a fairly small number, 26, 27.
It's a fairly small number. Many of them are looking ahead to the state law.
Yes.
Many already have solutions in place. So it's really, you know, we're hesitant to start the outreach to the next cohort when
until these questions are answered.
In place.
Do you know how many people are in the second cohort?
Something around the same amount, about 30 or so.
And then it goes up considerably.
It goes up fast, yeah.
For the 3rd and 4th, mm-hmm. That's...
It's like a total of 60 to 75.
Something countywide.
Yeah, it's not really significant. You do one a day, you'll get them done in 2 months.
So are we good in terms of...
So, Mana Jo, you're going to be on this when they convene the meeting. You want to go? And did we have anybody else that wanted to go?
Yeah, I'll go. I'll try to be quiet.
I'm writing that down.
Yeah.
So, Nana, I think it would be helpful maybe if you and I put out those invitations jointly so that we, I mean, I don't have the power to bring UCRA to the table in a productive state of mind, so.
Okay. I will... offer to do that jointly, and I do think that the fact that this type of thing is covered in the I can't find words today, the agreement
that already exists makes it a good next step. Yes, please.
Would you need council's presence, or is that in a meet that meeting too contentious? If there are going to be contractual issues,
because they'll have theirs.
We will certainly ask someone from the county attorney's office to.
Do we want? Do you want?
Yeah, I think he's asking talk, you. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm legislative counsel, so I can always talk to Chris and coordinate that.
Okay.
We have somebody present.
I think certainly whatever suggestions are made, we will need to have them reviewed. It might be good to have counsel there because there is an existing contract and an existing law, and ultimately we may have to amend. So I would tend to err on the side of having either Chris or yourself there. And to be very familiar, it would help us to be very familiar with those two documents, the contract and the existing law.
And sorry, last I heard, it was the comptroller forwarded that to Chris, the agreement, or do we have the agreement on?
I'm sure we have the copy of the agreement somewhere.
Yeah.
If, I mean, he hasn't forwarded it.
Chris definitely has it.
Okay, I'll ask Chris, but if we have it handy, you just send me directly that.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just wanted to clarify.
Yeah.
So, Mina, I'll coordinate with you on the invitation and the invite list.
Sure, okay. Yeah. All right. And then, let's see, before we go through the, is there anything else, Amanda, on, okay. And before we go through the resolutions, just a reminder that the September meeting, I guess I should say this at the end, but okay. I want to just get these out of the way so we can focus on the resolutions, is actually in August. It's August 30th.
It is.
Yeah, so.
We get the following week's the holiday week, so we put them.
So and then we go August right 30th. Into. So, and that will be out at the college?
No.
No, that's the EMC meeting. No. The EMC meeting is Wednesday, August 25th. Our meeting is here, August 30th.
Okay. Several of you had asked about the EMC meeting because they're going to have a speaker about the turbid water releases into the ESOPIS filtration program.
Yep.
And that meeting, I sent it all to you, but it's Wednesday, the 25th, 6:30 at the college, at the St. John Business Seminar Room.
Which one is the next month? I'm sorry, what time?
6:30.
And that's the one about the turbid water releases.
Okay.
All right, so.
I'm going to be able to make that meeting.
Just several people, you weren't here last month, but Al and several people wanted to know when that EMC meeting was going to be so they could attend, because to hear the speaker.
I have surgery on the 26th.
Oh, no,
I'm
going to
be out of commission for 2 weeks probably.
Oh,
so.
And that's the 26th?
Yeah. So I won't be doing anything on Monday the 30th.
You said that's the 26th at SUNY Ulster. Is that correct, Paul?
Yes.
Okay.
It's the 25th.
25th.
It's 25th. Okay. At SUNY Ulster. It's on our county calendar also, if you forget, it's on the legislative calendar.
And it's live, it's not
person. It's in person, yeah. I know they thought they could still meet on Zoom, but there was a misunderstanding about.
I thought.
Right. Yeah.
It's like you. When you meet, you have to tell us where you are. So they could do that, but every member that's going to Zoom in when we announce the meeting at least 2 weeks ahead of time, we've got to put their home address.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think many EMC members want to put their home address out on the public notice. And they have to let the public into their home. So
we're meeting on the deck.
Who made that law?
I think the state law may change the open meetings law eventually, but right now that's what the open meetings law is. It is what it is.
Okay.
All right, so on to resolutions, and the resolutions are for this month, the August 17th session, and the first resolution is confirming an appointment to the member of the Environmental Management Council. That's resolution number 328, and
I'll move it.
That's the appointment of Mark Ellison.
He has been on that committee for 7 years, and Esopus. Anyway, we got our act together, and I'm glad that this is formalizing it.
Okay.
He's very, very good. He's very committed.
All right. Very good. So do it. You moved it, and you second.
We have Waro and Petit.
Yes.
Oh.
Waro and Criswell.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And any further discussion on the question? All in favor, please signify. Anyone opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes unanimously from whoever's here.
Mary, I'm going to scooch that over to you.
All right. And then resolution number 329. Confirming another appointment to the Environmental Management Council. And in this case, it is Neil Reinlob from the town of Gardner. Any?
I'll second.
Okay, very good. Any discussion? Okay, calling the question. All in favor of appointing Mr. Reinlob, Neil Reinlob, to the Ulster County Environmental Management Council. Please signify.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, motion carries. And then we have resolution number 350.
Oh, 330 should be next.
330, and I should put some glasses on. Confirming the appointment of Roberta Clements, also from the town of Gardner. Any discussion? Moved?
Seconded?
Any further discussion? Not, I'll call the question to appoint Roberta Clements to the Environmental Management Council. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay. Motion carries. And then, last but not least, resolution number 351, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to enter into agreement with the New York Environmental Protection and Spill Compensation Fund for distribution of proceeds from the tax foreclosure from tax foreclosure sale, Department of Environment, submitted for consideration. And this is resolution number 351. Does anyone have any questions? We actually have the department here.
I'll move it.
Second.
Thank you. Moved by Legislator Petit, seconded by Legislator Waro. Any discussion?
This is not the property that had the illegal dumping of C&D from New York City. This is an oil spill.
No, so this was a former gas station. It's kind of on the corner of Tobacco Road and Choke. And then this is the second property that we've had a temporary incidence of ownership, which grants the county access without foreclosing on the property to do environmental investigation. And after we did our initial investigation, the DEC, using oil spill fund money, did subsequent investigation. And so this is to tidy up the agreement with the oil spill fund so we can move forward. We have and two more steps till foreclosure, but so we can get it back out there. So this has been kind of a derelict site for a long time, right in that corridor.
So does the county pay in and have it cleaned up first and then auction it, or are you expecting to get $154,000 from a sale?
We spent some money for investigation. Mm-hmm. The state spent some more. So this would be towards the state's kind of investment in the site with proceeds from the sale. However, the money we initially spent was from the Environmental Remediation Fund that the legislature created back years ago in order to do just this type of work.
Will any of this money replenish that fund?
That's a good question.
And the sale?
I don't know if that goes to the finance. I don't know. The tax sale goes into the general fund, I believe.
Well, I'll just mention that the proposed plan for the rescue plan funds includes some money to systematically go through and do the, what, 36 or so mm-hmm. such properties that we have. We've been kind of doing them one at a time as we can.
Yep.
But Amanda put a bug in my ear a few months ago that we should really systematically tackle these, yes. And I think we now understand how to do them.
That's great. And they're not considered brownfield sites. It couldn't be site location instead of a large. Is there any funding for brownfield sites?
That's kind of separate. So, you know, brownfield, the term brownfield is real or perceived contamination. There are some sites that we don't take because we don't know. So they are kind of brownfields in the sense that there may be real or maybe it's just a perception of some kind of contamination. I don't believe a brownfield cleanup fund is a different DEC pool that certain properties that are really kind of high value for redevelopment can go into if there's additional cleanup needed.
Okay.
This doesn't need more cleanup.
Mm-hmm.
This is done. The investigation is done. The spill file was closed. It was given, you know, closed, move on. You give the prospective bidders at the auction any of that information so that they know the investigation and the results and the reports.
Let me just write the number of that down.
It is presumed to be good and ready to go. It is not any kind of a DEC program.
Well, that's good to hear.
Any other questions or comments? I would like to call the question. All in favor, please signify. Anyone opposed? Okay, motion carries. And that's resolution number 351. And now, is there any new business?
Very quick item. I'd like to let the committee know that we're really delighted that Amanda has been offered and has accepted the position of Deputy Director of Planning.
Interesting.
Next week.
Congratulations.
So we're very excited to bring her breadth of expertise into that department with all of the things that it touches.
So now we can move solid waste back into the county planning.
Okay. And is there a succession plan for the Department of Environment or to be determined?
Well, Nick will certainly be appointed interim.
Interim or acting?
Acting? Anyway, there's a difference between those two, but I haven't learned what it is. But for sure. And then probably succession plan to follow.
Okay. And is this a new position, or has someone vacated in planning?
No, this was
Chris White. It is Chris White's position. Okay. All right. Well, very good. At least we're keeping your talent in.
We're crossing the parking lot.
Instead of arguing garbage, we can argue trails, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, and it does, in fact, say that planning is included in the annual reports, I think, to the, is that part of the contract, the solid waste contract, or what am I thinking of?
Oh, there's the zero waste report,
yes.
Planning and environment, too.
Yes, yeah, great. So, We'll now have two county departments reporting.
Next week.
Wow.
Yeah, that's amazing. I remembered when they created the department and hired you.
I've been 2003. They handed a new department to someone who had never worked for the county. We had to figure everything out from
that was for all the MS4 stuff.
So it was. It's been really amazing.
So, for old.
Great. So, I couldn't imagine leaving it in better hands. So,
Ulster County Fair Climate Solution Center plans. We just set up over the last couple days a really beautiful row of climate related. Booth at the Ulster County Fair. The fair made available to the Climate Smart Committee a double booth, and we have way more information and activities than we can fit even in a double booth, but it's really coming together beautifully, and it's not a full quarter of the main tent, the very large tent, but it's almost a quarter of the tent. So it really feels like a little village as you walk through. And we'll be in touch with Department of Environment, sharing information. The map of the Climate Smart Committee is already up and mounted and so forth. So
when does the fair run through?
The 3rd through the 8th.
It ends Sunday.
And our invitation, instead of Tuesday night, is Wednesday night.
At 6 is the opening
at
ceremony.
At 6, and that's it. So please be sure to come visit the main tent. And we have paid vendors and nonprofits, and then our booth, and they've worked very hard to figure out ways of engaging children and adults, and keeping it really positive, focusing on climate solutions. So there's been really good cooperation, and the agency did provide reusable bags and also a composting bucket filled with information as part of, there's going to be a raffle. So that would be one of the raffle prizes, and very generous, wonderful prizes and displays. So please join us.
What are you doing with all the emails you're collecting? Is that going to be part of education and
don't
outreach?
Don't ask. Okay. Oh, you mean the sign-up sheets?
Yeah, for education and outreach.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Climate Smart Committee will work on that and figure that out. Zero waste. We're
Kim's
plugging along.
Kim's done a really good job.
Yes.
Motivating people too, and I know you've been, you're like a rock, but she's been lighting fires.
Absolutely, and just she is so motivated, and it's contagious. She has been sharing that enthusiasm and getting people to be really creative. And at first I thought, what is, you know, a red-headed woodpecker have to do with climate change? And the artist that created it did a beautiful job, and then somebody took Audubon information and put it all together. And there's a dozen examples like that. And my goal is to have half the that large tent at the fair next year, because we'll have more time. And the following year, the whole tent is going to be. So we'll see. But it will be a way of putting a different flavor, and we've been working with Cornell also, and, you know, not to push things for this year, but by next year we hope to develop on-site composting and some other really positive steps, so that the Ulster County Fair can be a model of climate solutions. So, and this should get points toward the Climate Smart certification as well. A lot of good outreach, not only for the county, but also the towns. So, anything else on, in terms of old business or new business or next steps? All right, well, thank you. And I think we'll be able to work this through. It's going to take...
It'll take some patience and persistence, but we will work this out because this county has the potential to really be a model, and the climate change is just not letting up. It's just
this is going to be oceanfront county before you know it.
Yeah. All right. Well. Thank you all, and stay well.
Second.
And meeting adjourned at, it looks like
7:15.
Farm. Yeah. From what you said, is the legislative program meeting tomorrow?